Hello, and welcome to the Independent Pharmacy Alliance podcast. This episode is brought to you in part by Independent Pharmacy Alliance, IPA. IPA is a trade association and buying group representing 3,700 plus independent pharmacies leveraging buying power to help pharmacies access pharmaceuticals at the best prices. IPA now offers a comprehensive third-party help desk, legislative advocacy, and continuing education free of charge to members. Learn more today at ipagroup.org. I'm your host, Anthony Resnick, and I'm here with our producer, Zach Stone. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I've been pretty good. Not bad. So good. What's new these days with you?
Nothing's new with me. You know, I got the boys. They got school. We're getting through it last half of the year. But I saw that you had some news. Very much excited of you. You don't really pitch me stuff. As the producer, I'm like, here are these topics that we can do, and I send you some links. But this was the first time you ever sent me something. So I know there's something on your chest that you want to talk about, and I'm going to give you the floor. Just take it away.
All right. This is a very exciting time in the IPA podcast history, folks, because I'm getting a minute on the topic that I chose. So I just wanted to mention just very quickly that billionaire investor Mark Cuban, everybody knows Mark Cuban from Shark Tank, he was at this White House roundtable on drug prices. And at the roundtable on drug prices, he really made some news, especially in the independent pharmacy world, because he was talking about how pharmacy benefit managers or PBMs are pretty much, these are his words, destroying independent community pharmacies. And he was talking about reimbursement. He was talking about how they'll reimburse them, let's say, $500 for a drug that they bought for $1,000, and how it's impossible to run a business this way. So the amazing thing is, Zach, is that I got so many phone calls from pharmacists and pharmacy owners. Tell me, did you see Mark Cuban? Did you see what he said? And I think it's the celebrity factor.
Sure.
The fact that he's out there, the fact that he is now a prescription drug wholesaler because he's running his own wholesale company. He's at the White House and he's talking about pharmacy benefit managers, how they increase drug prices, but also how they're putting a lot of independent pharmacies out of business. And so I just wanted to give a shout out to all the pharmacy owners who mentioned this and anyone who wasn't aware of it. Take a look at what Mark Cuban has been saying and promote it. Promote it on Twitter or X, as they call it now. Promote it on Facebook. Because of his celebrity status, he gets a lot of attention. And getting the message out about PBMs and what they're doing on drug pricing and what they're doing to independent pharmacies isn't always an easy thing to do. When you have somebody like him out there, it adds some credibility and it makes it easier to get the message out there. So I'll attach this article to this podcast so everybody can see it. Send it to family, friends, anybody that you can, because people do pay attention to what he's saying.
So not only is he talking to the media about this, but he's getting all the way to the White House and talking to the executive branch of the government about this. So I think it's pretty cool. And just for him to take that moment to speak out about what PBMs do to independent pharmacies, I mean, I saw why you were so excited about this. And while you think of him as appearing on Shark Tank, I'm a Dallas Mavericks guy. So, you know.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a Mavericks guy, but I'm an NBA guy. So that's what
You're an NBA guy? Are you a Mavericks fan?
No, I'm a Sixers guy through and through. I mean, that's why I'm not paying that much attention to basketball, because I think they should just throw away the season now. I'm over.
Sure. Sure.
I bet plus 300 on them to not make the playoffs this year. I'm feeling pretty good. I have to hedge my bet somehow. It's an emotional bet hedging. So, it's very cool to see what Mark Cuban just did for independent pharmacies, shouting them out there on not only on CNBC, but to the executive branch of the government. So that's pretty cool.
It is really cool. And, you know, a guy like him, when he talks, people listen. And I think some of the things that he was saying about how PBMs are not unique, that companies, state governments and federal governments should stop using the three large PBMs and go to some smaller transparent ones. I think it was an excellent message. And, you know, I'm going to post that article and I hope people see it and spread the message.
Can independent pharmacists do anything to that effect? Are independent pharmacies completely at the whim of the PBMs, can they go to PBMs that are not the big three?
Problem is that the three big PBMs, they control 85% of the market.
Right. When he was talking about the drugs that he has in his company, he has 2,500 generics and what, like 8 big brand drugs, but that's it.
Yeah. The difference between what Mark Cuban does and a PBM is Mark Cuban is what's called a wholesaler. So pharmacies can purchase drugs from wholesalers like Mark Cuban's company. But PBMs are the ones that actually pay the pharmacy for dispensing the drug. So there's no replacing them. You know, Mark Cuban and wholesalers like him, you know, they can have special deals and rates on the prescriptions they sell. But it's the PBMs in the end that decide how much the pharmacy actually makes when they dispense the drug to the patient. Especially the three big PBMs, there's really no replacing them at this point because 85% of all the patients are within the PBM network.
Sure. All right. Well, very cool. Very exciting. And like I said, very cool that he got to talk to the executive branch, because it looks like some health insurers, hospital, doctors, pharmacies, and patients are going to need some help from the government in a big way because of some stuff that just happened in the healthcare industry. Why don't you talk about that real quick?
I mean, you're absolutely right, Zach. There was an explosion that occurred in the pharmacy industry just a couple of weeks ago. There was a cyber attack on one of the largest healthcare or insurance companies in the United States called United Health Group. So what's kind of interesting about this is that we have these companies that nobody's really aware of. They don't know the names, but they affect our lives in so many different ways. So just to give you an example of what happened, there's a company called Change Healthcare, and they're a little known but critical subsidiary of United Health Group, which is one of the largest insurance companies in the world. And on February 21st, there was a cyber attack group from overseas, and they basically affected the systems at Change Healthcare. And after the cyber attack, pharmacies, doctors' offices, and patients, they're saying their lives and work have been upended by this widespread outages in systems commonly used for medical billing and insurance claims. So what happened and who was affected? Well, according to the Washington Post, this hack, it's affecting millions of patients, either directly or indirectly, through their prescriptions, physicians, and hospitals. But most of the patients whose healthcare claims are processed by this company that we were talking about called Change Healthcare, patients, they're not even aware of it. And they're not going to discover there's a problem until they actually show up at the pharmacy counter and they're waiting for their prescription to be dispensed. What's happening to a lot of patients is that when the pharmacy processes a prescription, the insurance company sends them an electronic message saying, this is how much you charge the patient. This is what their copay is. That has all been disrupted. And so because they can't get this information from the insurance company, some patients were forced to pay with cash. And the cash price, in a lot of cases, for a prescription drug is 1,000 times more expensive than the insurance price. So you're stuck. So there was a situation where this man, he has congestive heart failure and diabetes, and he needs his insulin to stay alive. And he was forced to pay hundreds of dollars out of pocket to pick up his prescription drug, because the cyber attack pretty much made his insurance null and void. The pharmacy couldn't process his insurance. This has been happening all around the country. So the interesting thing is, while this was such a big story, it really hasn't gotten a lot of media attention. Not really sure why. I've seen a lot of articles, but it hasn't really been on TV. But it's a serious problem. And like this individual, he's got real issues, diabetes, congestive heart failure, and he can't get his insurance company to pay for his medication. So he's got to pay out of pocket just to stay alive.
So how does this affect the independent pharmacist? Obviously, this affects hospitals and doctors, and you were talking about some of the patients. But when a massive data hack happens like this, how does this trickle down to the owner of the independent pharmacist?
So right now, every prescription drug is, the word for it is adjudicated. All that means is that their pharmacy is dispensing the drug to you at the pharmacy counter. So when the pharmacy adjudicates a claim or dispenses a prescription drug, they get an electronic message on their screen, and the electronic message says, this is how much I'm going to charge the patient. Without that, they don't know how much to charge you. They don't know what your copay is for the prescription drug. So that means a lot of pharmacies in this United Healthcare network, they had to do everything the old-fashioned way, paper.
Oh, that seems like a huge time suck.
Yeah, exactly. So everything was slowed down. Can't process payment right away. So in a lot of instances, the pharmacy's not getting paid because everything gets done electronically. The pharmacy finds out how much they're getting paid for the prescription. The patient knows what they're going to pay for the prescription. So none of that's happening. Now when the pharmacy's dispensing the drug, everything's got to be adjudicated via paper. And so it's taken a long, long time. And in some cases, the patient has had to pay out of pocket until the payment can be processed. In other cases, some pharmacies were giving out the prescriptions for free until the payment could be processed. So it all depends on the specific situation with that patient, the drug, and the pharmacy.
So it's either on the pharmacist basically to decide how they're going to deal with the payment proposed. It's either pass it down to the patient, which you're not going to fault any pharmacist for doing, like you're dispensing a drug, you need to get compensated for that. Or is there anything the independent pharmacist can ask the doctors, the hospitals, the insurance companies to do while United Healthcare, Change Healthcare get through this data hack?
That's been the problem. See, the pharmacy can't just decide what to charge the patient when they have insurance. But if the patient is purchasing the drug for cash, then yes, they're paying the cash price at the counter. I think the problem that a lot of pharmacists and pharmacy owners are having is that United Healthcare hasn't really been very transparent with what they're supposed to do. So I know pharmacists, pharmacy owners, they've been contacting United Healthcare. They've been getting some instruction from them, but you know, it hasn't been completely clear on what and how they're supposed to do. Although I'm hearing now that things are getting a bit easier. According to this one article that I have, United Healthcare is claiming that 90% of all the prescription drugs are now somehow smoothly being processed, but we're still hearing that there are issues with pharmacists and pharmacy owners with processing United Health prescription drugs. But what was really good was on the same day, this is a really good resource for pharmacy, Drug Topics came out with an article. And it talks about cybersecurity best practices for pharmacies in the digital age.
Well, that's good, because I think the important thing to remember is that when we think about hacks, I mean, this can happen to anyone. I think one of the reasons it didn't become news is because this happens to 1 in 3 Americans last year. And anytime you see that message like, Pam, I have the payment for the piano, just text me back. Or Ethan, is that you? Or Dominic, I'm sorry we couldn't pretend. Obviously, your name isn't Dom, your name isn't Pam. But these kind of attacks and these kind of text messages are happening more and more frequently. And cyberware and ransomware attacks against these big time companies, they're happening more and more, especially by these overseas companies, because a lot of the times companies will just pay out. Part of their business model is they'd rather just pay out these ransomware attacks than deal with the hassle of having industry interrupted. So if it's happening on this big time level with these insurance companies, and if it's happening on an individual level with where these cyber criminals are going after the individual person, it's definitely not outside the realm of possibility to think they could come after an independent pharmacist, an independent business. I don't mean to say that to scare you. I'm just saying that as we shift into a digital world, this is very much in the realm of possibility of things to happen. So it's great that this article came out so people can prepare. What were some of the tips that they discussed? I think one of them was just to let the pharmacist know to become familiar with cybersecurity.
Right.
Especially with some of the older owners out there, right?
Sure. So one of the most important things, they list a few different things that pharmacists and pharmacy owners should do. So train your staff in cybersecurity. The first and most important line of defense against cyber attacks is having staff members who are trained and aware of potential threats. Pharmacy staff should be taught cybersecurity practices, such as not using pharmacy systems for personal matters. That happens always at work. When you're at work, you're always being told by management, don't use your computer for personal use, like shopping online and things like that.
So even at my other job, right, we can't even check Gmail. That's how I get my emails. We are not able to access Gmail on our work computers. Like, that is something that I have to do on the supercomputer in my pocket. So I think that's a smart tactic, blocking some of these sites that typically people would use to do online shopping, to check their personal email, you know, not doing that stuff on the work computer.
Right, exactly. Like opening up, let's say, links that you're not really sure of. Sometimes I'll get an email in my inbox that says, hey, I have a question for you. And, you know, there's a link where you can go and see their question. And a lot of times, you know, they'll call that like a fishing expedition where, you know, they're fishing for you, that sending out some bait, and then you got to click on that clickbait. And then once you click it on, all of a sudden, some sort of cyber attack or ransomware can get a hold of your systems. Now they have access to all your information.
And I know, because I have to go through this every year. I have to do an hour to 4 hours of online training. It's like a way to remind myself to beware of these phishing attacks. So I'm very well aware of how tedious and how much I roll and how much I just try to get through it as much as possible. But it does remind me annually how important it is to stay on top of it and to avoid these kind of attacks, which could overall hurt the entire company. So while it feels stupid to do, these last 1 hour, 4 hours out of 365 days can be extremely useful to make your employees do annually, once a year, just to remind them of what a phishing attack looks like.
Right, exactly. And, you know, while in this particular situation, you had a large health insurer that got cyber attacked and it affected everybody, anybody can be hacked. And that goes for small independent pharmacy owners. You know, another thing that they're saying is make sure passwords are managed properly. So you wouldn't choose Zach1234 for your password.
You know my password?
Is that your password, Zach?
Listen, I'm not going to say out loud if that's my password, but I may have to change some things before we release this podcast.
I think so. I think we should edit that out.
All right.
I think we need to edit out Zach1234.
Well, listen, I decide when this podcast gets released. So don't worry. I will change my password before that happens. But yes, exactly. You don't want to make it that easy.
Here at work, like IPA, we're asked to change our passwords, you know, frequently. And we're always asked to change it to something that's difficult to remember. So you don't want to choose something easy. You want to make sure you're constantly changing your password because hackers are getting better and better all the time.
So as your resident millennial, allow me to help you when generating and thinking of a password. What has been passed down to my generation is rather than thinking of a one-word phrase, using a mix of capital and upper letters, but using three-word phrases and linking them together. So actually, it's the phrase that becomes hard to guess rather than thinking of like a one word and then just some numbers. Thinking about those random words connected is actually much more difficult to hack and much more difficult to think of rather than like guessing like your pet growing up and then the year that they were born, right? So that's something to think about. So when you're thinking about complex things, you want to make them long, but easy for you to remember so that you don't have to write them down, right?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you should definitely pick out something that's really difficult for somebody else to be able to guess what it is. Kind of use a mix of numbers and hashtags and other things that you could put in there just to make it difficult. But obviously, it's got to be something that you can remember too.
Exactly.
But it's interesting, Zach, you know, and I appreciate it. I need all the help I can get from millennials.
Sure.
I'm a Gen Xer.
Sure.
This is kind of interesting, Zach. So when I was in college, back, you know, in the Stone Age,
right.
I remember going to a computer lab to do a report, and I had to write a midterm paper, and I encountered the internet for the very first time. This is a true story. And I tried it out. I remember exactly what I thought. I said, you know what? Nobody's ever going to use this. This is not going to last. That was my very first encounter with the internet. I said, Nobody's going to use this stuff.
Don't take stock tips from Anthony Resnick.
Don't take stock tips. I went right
cannot
back
see
to
the future.
Encyclopedia at the right. library. Right back.
All right. So what are some other tips that pharmacy business owners can think of to help their employees and to keep their systems safe from hackers?
So another thing they say, ensure internet vulnerabilities are addressed. One way to be proactive rather than reactive is to address internet vulnerabilities. So what do they say about them? This includes utilizing strategies like conducting regular vulnerability scanning, properly configuring any devices, employing best practices when it comes to remote desktops, and making sure all of your software is up to date. So just make sure, like it says, all your software is up to date. We all have virus scanners.
Exactly.
You want to make sure the virus scanner is up to date. So when you get those pop-up messages from your virus scanner saying, look, you need to update it, it's probably a good idea to do. Because if you don't, if you let that lapse, you're going to make yourself more vulnerable. Possible cyber attack to some sort of internet virus hacking your system.
And that's a business expense, right? So that can be written off, you buying that kind of software to help protect your computer. So definitely worth having. And, you know, as we've exited this COVID area, a lot more bringing your work home, right? So being right. mindful of the remote work that you do. When you bring home a computer, when you're bringing home stuff from the office to your home, being mindful of that connection and how to connect to the work internet and just making sure that those links are safe. So just be mindful when you're working remotely. All right. What were some of the other suggestions that they had? They had a couple more, right?
Well, you know, it kind of touched on what we just spoke about. Use security software like antivirus software, anti-malware. It talks about how it's important to make sure that firewalls are in place at key points to prevent attacks. So, you know, pharmacy owners and pharmacists, they deal with a lot of sensitive information. They have patient information, patient data, and that is all protected under a federal statute. All that information has to be kept private. So security, specifically data security, is job one at a pharmacy because one of the number one things is every pharmacy wants to protect their patients' personal and private data.
Yeah, and it's same as the last thing, you know, keeping that data, keeping that antivirus software, keeping that anti-malware software up to date is just a helpful part of that. So like when they ask you to do those updates, just do them. It'll just reboot your computer. It's just going to take an extra minute, but that is a huge way to make sure that your systems are safe and that none of that information gets out into people's hands who could use it against you.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and one of the things that I've always encountered with every pharmacist that I've spoken to is the conversation about keeping patient records private. In the old days, you know, before the internet, everything was done via paper. So you had paper files. And in some ways, it was kind of easier to keep people's information private.
Sure.
But now, like we saw with this attack on United Health, the cyber attack, everybody's at risk. And pharmacists and pharmacy owners, they deal with the most sensitive information, which is your healthcare records. So it's really important to make sure that your antivirus software and anti-malware software is up to date.
Hypothetically, you do get attacked. You know, there is one last line of defense to make sure your business isn't impacted. I think they talked about this in the article, right?
Yeah. So the last thing they recommend, and every pharmacy owner does this in various different ways. Sometimes they hire vendors to do this for them, is to have backups. So pharmacists need to ensure that all critical data and systems are backed up. In the case that you do fall victim to a cyber attack, having backups will allow you to have access to the lost data. So it's really important. If you do get cyber attacked, if somehow they do wipe out all of your files, you at least have the backups so that you don't lose your patient files.
And remember, don't put that on the same computer. You wouldn't back up all your information on your main computer because then if that computer gets hacked, then all that backup information is all for naught. So like you want that on a separate system. That way, in case you does need to be backed up and your one computer is hacked, you can get it from somewhere else. So don't put the backup information on the same computer.
You're right, Zach. That's really important. You want to definitely have that data on a separate computer. So if you have one system that was hacked, that data is on a different computer.
And all of this information, obviously, this is a podcast for independent pharmacies and independent pharmacy owners, but all this information can be transferred into your personal life as well. Like, you shouldn't be opening text messages from people that you don't know, people who get your name wrong, emails that you don't recognize. You should not be opening them. And hypothetically, you miss something, chances are they're going to email you back or talk to you in person and be like, hey, did you ever get my email? Oh, that was from you. It's better safe than sorry. So all these tips that we've talked about for the last 10 minutes or so, not only are they good for business practices, they are big for personal matters as well. So when you're thinking about protecting your own computer, your own system, your own bank account, think about using these tips for your personal computer as well.
You're absolutely right, Zach. You know, you can employ all of these tips in your own personal life, especially for older folks like me, you know, Gen Xers. We really need to try to stay up to date on, you know, all these various ways that people can cyber attack our personal records.
I know you guys are trying to be helpful. I know your generation wants to be helpful. Guys, don't respond to the text messaging asking for help from someone you don't know. Just don't do it. The internet is an awful, awful place. It can be full of nice things like cat memes and cat videos. And that's the great part of the internet. But a lot of the internet is a terrible, terrible cesspool of awful, awful people trying to take your information and making your day worse. Don't fall for those things. If you see something that you don't recognize, please stop clicking it. Stop talking to strangers on the internet. For the love of God, it was fine in the 90s in the random AOL instant message rooms. Not anymore, guys. You're better than this. You are a great generation. Please stop doing it. I don't want to go over to your house, Mom, and try to fix your Wi-Fi because you can't remember a password. Just, you're better than this, guys. You're better than this.
Well, you know, Zach, everything you said, that's all good advice. But the one thing I do want to get across here, this could be a little controversial. Gen X is a lot cooler than the millennials. I mean, we had better music. We had a lot more fun. So definitely way, way cooler than millennials.
Listen, figure out how to restart your Wi-Fi after a bad storm and like then we'll talk.
I have my son to do that.
Okay, fine.
That's what kids are for.
Okay. That's right. What kids You're are. Welcome. You're welcome.
In all seriousness, pharmacy owners really need to protect themselves. This is only going to keep happening more and more. So they have to be sure that all their systems are up to date and that they're constantly monitoring for any type of phishing scams, cyber attacks, or viruses. So that means all your systems have to always be up to date.
Exactly. So thank you, Anthony, for bringing some of these to our attention that we can hopefully use not only in our business lives, but our personal lives as well.
My pleasure, Zach. Thanks for listening to the Independent Pharmacy Alliance podcast. This podcast was made possible by the Independent Pharmacy Alliance and the President and CEO, John Giampolo. It was produced and edited by Zach Stone with music by Marcus Way. For previous and future episodes, check out ipagroup.org. Thank you very much. Bye for now.